Hello everyone, you are listening to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon. Today we begin our People article, Star Power. And in the studio I have with me Simon and Amanda. Welcome panelists.
Thank you.
Thanks Brandon.
And they're two stars, star panelists. We are talking about star power. What do we mean by that title, Simon?
Well, star power is an interesting term. Usually it refers to a famous person. And so the idea is that a star, like a movie star or maybe a rock star, has power. And that power is mostly coming from this idea that those people are easily recognized and everyone knows who they are.
Okay, and we are talking about stars and science as well, and we're talking about an astronomer, and she's maybe could be called a star astronomer even.
That's right. So this title is really a play on words, because it's not so much talking about a movie star as actual stars in the sky, because the article is about an astronomer, like you said, which
right.
is a scientist who studies the stars.
So sorry if you thought we were talking about movies. We tricked you.
We kind of are, though, because this astronomer in particular is a fairly well-known astronomer, and so she probably is kind of a star in the astronomy community.
Mm. Well, what is astronomy, actually?
Well, astronomy is the study of the stars, or not just the stars, the study of the stars, the planets, and
the universe.
Yeah.
Right, okay, and so there's a lot to study there. You could spend your entire life, of course, and not maybe get as far as you would want, because there's so much to study. Well, our deck says, astronomer works to bring science within everyone's reach. If you're trying to bring something within everyone's reach, what are you trying to do, Simon?
Well, you're trying to make it accessible to them. So you're trying to give everyone the chance to learn about and find out about and use information that is related to astronomy in this case.
And I think she wants to make science, you know, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not interesting for everyone.
Well, and I think more than that, astronomy has a reputation as being sort of one of the hardest of sciences. So when we think about the different sciences that are out there, there are a lot of sciences that even high school students sort of know things about, like chemistry and biology, things like that. But something like astronomy has a reputation of being much more complicated. In English, we sometimes talk about rocket scientists, right?
Mm.
We use this phrase, a rocket scientist. That's an engineer who builds spaceships.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about that as... We use the term rocket science to describe someone who's really, really smart.
Yeah, we have that phrase, it's not rocket science.
That's right, meaning that it's not that hard. So that is something that, you know, we think of as being very difficult.
Mm.
But I have a question for a panelist. Did you enjoy studying science while you were in school, in high school, or in college? If so, which particular area did you enjoy studying, Simon?
Are we starting with me, or are you
picking
on
me? Yeah, I just asked your name. Said your name.
Listeners, here's the thing. I was a science teacher, and I think Brandon knows that, so I wasn't sure if he was targeting me here in the audience. It's true, I did like science when I was growing up. When I was a lot younger, I was mostly interested in biology and
that's
Earth
tough.
Science stuff.
Geology?
I liked geology. I liked climatology stuff.
Why did you like biology?
I come from like a rural area, and so I spend a lot of time sort of outside, actually. And so I think that's why the interest in earth science and living things. But interestingly enough, as I've gotten older, my interest has sort of shifted to things like chemistry and materials science, which is... understanding different kinds of materials around us. I've started to find that much more interesting as I've gotten older.
Mm. All right. Well, you are the right person for this program today. Simon, Amanda, are you a science person?
I am. I really enjoyed biology as well in high school. I did chemistry for a while. Physics has grown on me. At first, the whole math side of physics put me off, but then I had to use it in my job. So I think it just grew on me that, you know, the practicalness of physics. Yeah.
Okay.
And yeah, I do. I still continue enjoying learning about stuff.
That is a very interesting point, because I also did not have an easy time with math for I guess, a big part of my education.
Until yesterday?
Until yesterday, basically, yeah. But the thing with math is once you sort of learn that it's a tool and you learn to use it, it becomes a very powerful tool that really helps you kind of understand what's going on around you and helps you really interact with the world in a very meaningful way, really understanding what's happening. And so if we have listeners out there who are math haters, I would like to take this chance to encourage you to not give up. And keep going, because it's not rocket science. Just math.
All right. Well, for me, I'm not really a science person. Like, it's not my favorite subject. But when school, I would choose, you know, earth science, I guess, would be the one that I would be most interested in. However, in chemistry, I did like when I could balance those equations. It was just such a relief and so rewarding when you were able to balance them out, and that was kind of fun.
Such a relief, he says.
I got the right answer.
Yeah.
Anyway, wow. So today we are talking about the stars, the universe, and talking about an astronomer, but it's really not just about science, as we'll find out as we go along. We are interviewing, or rather the Chicago Tribune is interviewing, a lady, an astronomer, and we'll find out who she is there on page 22. So if you have your magazine, go ahead and open it up, and we'll have our first reading for today.
Star Power. Astronomer works to bring science within everyone's reach. A paddleboard leans against the wall in Lucianne's Wachowitz office. Wachowitz, 36, an astronomer at Adler Planetarium, paddleboards when the weather allows, mulling the currents and the universe. Science peeks through nearly everything she does. At the planetarium, she splits her time between researching stellar magnetic activity and its influence on whether a planet is habitable, and on the other end of the spectrum, serving as an ambassador to the public. Science is accessible, and it's something that I think people have a right to access, Wachowitz said. What could be more profound than wondering how the world around you works? I really want to share that with people.
Well, we start off with an interesting word. Well, the first word is A. That's not so interesting. But next is paddleboard. What is a paddleboard, Amanda?
A paddleboard is a long, narrow board that a rider propels over the water, usually while standing. So it's like a surfboard, but a little bit longer, and especially designed for the sport of paddleboarding, which is standing with a paddle and going along the water rather than having no paddle and trying to get over the waves like surfing.
Yeah, I want to try this. Have you done this, Simon?
I haven't, but I do have a confession to make. When I first read this, I thought the paddleboard they were talking about was those wooden paddles that have a rubber ball attached by a rubber band.
Yeah.
And you bounce, because they're also called paddleboards, right? You bounce the ball. Okay. Back and forth off the board. And
that's the old version, yeah.
It's a good thing we had it defined here.
I am glad we had a definition, because when I first read it, I was like, how did she lean that little thing against the wall?
We're all learning together here. All right, well, it is leaning against the wall in Lucianne Wachowitz's office. She's 36 years old, and she is an astronomer at Adler Planetarium. And I looked up on their website, and it looks like a place I would like to visit. They have at least a couple of theaters where you can go and, you know, watch things. And those planetariums actually are these domed theaters, so you can look up, and it's as if you were looking at the stars and so forth. So very interesting. Have you been to a planetarium, panelists?
Yes.
Yeah.
Been to a planetarium when I was in high school. A field trip.
Okay, and very interesting way to learn about science and the stars and so forth. So that's where she works, there in Chicago at the Adler Planetarium. And she likes to paddleboard when the weather allows, and she mulls the currents. Now, that's an interesting way of using this word. Does it mean she's kind of thinking about the currents or pondering them? That's kind of the meaning of mull, right, Simon?
Yeah, that is what it means. It means she's just thinking about the currents. And I think that's kind of interesting because in a lot of ways there are, I guess you would say, parallels or similarities between the way water works and the way air works and the way things work in space as well. And we get into that a little bit later in this article. Actually, tomorrow we'll mm-hmm. get into that. But it's an interesting introduction to that idea.
Yeah, and we have the phrase mull something over. It just means that you're going to think about something or ponder something. And so she's kind of thinking about the currents as she's out there on her paddleboard.
I think it's interesting that it says mulling the universe because he or she is an astronomer. So she's literally thinking about the stars and the planets. But that's also a phrase that we use, mulling the universe, when we're actually thinking about a lot of things that are happening in our life.
Okay. All right. We see that science peeks through nearly everything she does, as we'll see in this article. So if something peeks through, it's kind of maybe hiding and then kind of a little bit sticking out. But I think here, really, as we look at her life, science is kind of in every part of her life.
Yeah, it kind of means it's under the surface of everything. So even if you don't see it, it's still there and it's still kind of driving her and influencing what she's doing.
All right. Well, what does she do at the planetarium, Amanda?
Well, she splits her time between researching stellar magnetic activity and its influence on whether a planet is habitable.
All right. That term stellar magnetic is referring to the stellar magnetic field or a stellar magnetic field. And that's a powerful force that many stars possess. And so astronomers, they study this. They're trying to understand the magnetic fields and helps them to learn more about the physical makeup of stars and also maybe what can happen in the future evolution and so forth. So here she is studying whether or not a planet is habitable. What is habitable?
Habitable basically means people can live on it, or maybe not people, but living things can be on the planet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it comes from sort of that root word inhabit, which means to live somewhere.
Okay, so here it's actually talking about that activity around a planet. And again, they're talking about whether you can live on it or not. So that's what she's studying. And then on the other end of the spectrum, she is an ambassador. So let's talk about that phrase, spectrum. It's kind of like a line where there's something at one end and something at the other end, Amanda.
Right, it's a range. And usually we have different ranges of things. You can have a color spectrum, which would be a different range of colors. Here is talking about a range of opinions and feelings. So spectrum just means a range or a different kind of something.
Okay, so at one end here she's studying stellar magnetic activity and all of that, and at the other end she's being an ambassador. And one is very technical, and the other, she's going out and telling people, you know, about science and trying to get them more involved. And so a lot of times when we think about an ambassador, we think about the government, you know, someone from one country going to visit another country and to help with the relationship between those countries, Simon.
Yeah, and so this phrase then, the other end of the spectrum, is really a way of saying in contrast to something else. So we use it when we're comparing two things that are different, but that one person or one group is doing.
All right, and Walkowitz next says that science is accessible and it's something that I think people have a right to access. So do you think that science is accessible? A lot of times we think, oh, I don't understand that, it's too difficult, but really she's trying to put things in simple terms so people will be interested in science and understand it better, Amanda.
Well, I think the internet has had a lot to do with that, making it more available to the everyday person rather than perhaps in textbooks and things like that. So I do think that it has increased in accessibility. But I think you're right. She's talking here about how to simplify it so the everyday person can come to understand it.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, this question you've asked here, because I think science actually really isn't very accessible. And I think that's why it's very appropriate that in this article they've used words like ambassador, because someone who is deeply involved in the sciences really is living in a very different sort of world and culture than your average everyday person on the street. And popular science, like Amanda is talking about on the internet and Discovery Channel and things like that, has done a lot to sort of change that. But it's important to realize that people who watch a show about dinosaurs on Discovery Channel don't really fully understand the subject.
Sure.
Right? Because it's been sort of like the difficulty level has been dropped down.
They've dumbed it down.
And, well, I don't know if we want to say mean things.
Well, I mean, you know, they've made it simple.
Especially about a different media organization. But they've made it simpler, right? And the point is they've added entertainment to it, right?
Yes.
And so it's not necessarily the real story. And so I think real science is very difficult for people to access.
Sure, that's a good point. But it's good to put it in simple terms, because if it's always so difficult that you can't really understand it, then people may not be very interested at all. At least you can understand something about it.
Yeah, and so I think it's important that this Adler Planetarium has created a job like the one that she has here, where they've created this ambassador position to have someone who really does understand the science work with the public and answer their questions.
She's kind of bridging the gap.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So she goes on and says, what could be more profound than wondering how the world around you works? The word profound, Amanda.
Well, it's in a vocabulary focus and meaning an adjective meaning showing a clear and deep understanding of serious matters.
Okay, so, you know, you think about how does the world around you work? And that is something that is hard to understand. It is profound. And she wants to share this with people, share the things that she has learned. And the Chicago Tribune, they've sat down with her and they've asked her some questions, not just about science, but about her life. And she's going to share those with us. And so let's go into our next reading, and we'll begin with the first question that they ask her.
Walkowitz talk to us about pursuing passion projects, all while considering a place in the universe. What follows is an edited transcript. When you were in college, you got to see a space shuttle launch with a camera you helped work on. This experience must have been encouraging.
That was really important for me, because I have never really been a class and homework person. So I think my research experience early was really important, because it told me what being an astronomer would eventually be like, and it made all of the classwork worth it.
Okay, so Walkowitz, she is pursuing passion projects. What's a passion project, Simon?
Well, a passion project is basically something that isn't your main job, but is something you care a lot about. So it might be a hobby, or it might be something for work, but it's not the main thing you're being paid to do at work if you're doing it for work.
All right, and Walkowitz is also considering, you know, her place in the universe. And we all want to know our place in the world, is how we usually put it. But for her, since she's studying the universe, I guess that's more of an appropriate term. But she is trying to find out, you know, what's her place in all of this. And part of that is sharing what she is learning with other people and helping them to become interested in science as well. So what follows is an edited transcript. What is a transcript, Amanda?
It is a written copy of something. So here it is a written copy of the interview that was held with her. And it's edited, meaning that it is shortened, probably just to a length that the author wanted.
All right. And oftentimes we will talk about transcripts when it comes to college or school. You need to get your transcript to submit it to maybe your employer, or if you're looking for a job or so forth, or if you're trying to go to maybe a master's degree, they want your transcript from your previous school, which shows all of your grades and so forth. So that's another way of using it. Well, the first question, what is asked there, Simon?
Well, they ask her a question. They say, when you were in college, you got to see a space shuttle launch with a camera you helped work on. This experience must have been encouraging. And the interesting thing about that first question, of course, is it's not a question.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right? We see that more than once in this article.
That's right. Yeah. It's really a statement, but the idea here, of course, is that she's meant to react to it or respond
to it. It's an interview.
So, yeah.
And it's interesting, she was able to work on this camera and to see a space shuttle launch, and not all of us get to do that. So, you know, when you read this, you think, oh, well, that's kind of nice, but I haven't been able to experience that. But she's wanting to share her experiences to help us, you know, understand what's going on. So she answers, and her answer is kind of interesting. What does she say there in the beginning, Amanda?
She says that it was really important for her because she never really had been a class and homework person.
All right. Well, we could talk about that for a moment or two, a class and homework person. She didn't really like school. And maybe, listeners, maybe some of you, you're not into school so much. But that's okay. You can still be successful. So as we look at her answer here, she goes on to say, she says, so I think my research experience earlier was really important because it told her what being an astronomer would eventually be like. And so even though she wasn't big into doing homework, and maybe she did it, but she just wasn't really all about it, she was really focused on the experience, the hands-on experience, I think, is what she's referring to. She was able to work on this camera, and hands-on experience is so important, especially in certain fields, Simon.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that she says this experience made all the classwork worth it. Mm-hmm. So she still doesn't really like school after this experience, but it sort of gives her a goal to work towards, and maybe an understanding that she needs to go through the process of learning these things she's studying in school.
It motivates her to study, basically. Yeah.
I think more people are hands-on. You know, I mean, some people are hands-on. And so rather than just seeing it written down, they need to, you know, experience it and do it for them to come to understand it. And she's one of those people.
All right. Well, that's the first question. Let's find out what the next question is in our last reading for today.
Being so invested in and excited about space, you are also passionate about sharing that enthusiasm with others.
I feel very privileged to have the job that I have. I get to think about space all day, and I get to try to answer questions about the universe. It's really enriching for me as a human being. I can look out at the lake, for example, and I can see currents happening in the water and think about the commonalities between that and the way we see things in space. And it's because physics and chemistry are the same everywhere throughout the universe. And that very profound fact, I think, is kind of amazing.
Okay, so being invested in space and excited about it, are you also passionate about sharing that enthusiasm with others? And of course she is, because she is an ambassador. If you're an ambassador, you need to be enthusiastic about what you're telling people, Amanda.
That's right. And she says, I feel very privileged to have the job that I have. If you feel privileged, you feel very thankful that you have that opportunity.
So she thinks about space all day, and she tries to answer questions about the universe. She thinks about space all day. Some of us space out during the day, which means that maybe you're at work and someone's asking you a question and you don't answer right away because you've spaced out. You start thinking about something else. Anyway, she's talking about it's really enriching for me as a human being. What does it mean for something to be enriching, Simon?
Well, enriching means it improves the quality of her life, basically. And so it makes life worth living.
And she gives an example. She can look out at the lake, and she sees the currents happening in the water, and she thinks about the commonalities between that and the way we see things in space. So she's connecting the two. What's the same here? When she looks out at the lake and what she sees in space, what comparisons can she make? And then she talks about the physics, Amanda.
Right. She says it's because physics and chemistry are the same everywhere throughout the universe. It has the same principles, the same rules, and that very profound fact. So that's a very revelational fact to her. She thinks it's kind of amazing that it doesn't change no matter where you are.
All right, so she's looking around wherever she is, and she can bring science into what she's doing. And that's why it shows us her passion for what she's doing. And so I have a question as we end today for our panelists. What is something that you are passionate about and that you would like to share with others? It could be something simple, or it could be something rather profound, but something that you would like to share with our listeners. Amanda, any thoughts?
I think for me, it's important to share that people have value and to not give up. So I think I just really enjoy encouraging people that, don't look so down on yourself, but mm-hmm. to keep on going.
All right. And that's something that we, encouragement that we can all use in our lives. Simon, any thoughts?
I've been thinking a lot lately about success and people who are maybe at a disadvantage when they start, and some of the things that go into making them successful. And I think we see an example of that here with this astronomer who maybe wasn't very good at school. You might not have predicted that she would go on to become an astronomer, but just having an experience that sort of motivated her and gave her a goal to work towards, maybe combined with a lot of hard work, led to her having a job that is absolutely perfect for her.
All right, and you make a good point. When you're talking about your job, you want to be passionate about it. You will enjoy it more if you are passionate about it rather than just going to work every day. And so both of you made good points about things that you are passionate about, and you want to share that with others. And listeners, you can think about what you're passionate about, and maybe right now you don't feel that you are, but you can explore new areas and find something that you're interested in, and maybe you could even find a job that links to that. Well, we have much more to talk about tomorrow for day two of our People article. We hope you will join us again then. Until tomorrow, this is Brandon,
Amanda,
and Simon
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.